Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 1027. I hope that you're all warm and well. Now, there is an expression that is often attributed to a Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times. At the moment, I think the times may be a little too interesting for me. Floods, tornadoes, I've never heard of a tornado in South Africa, elections and uncertainty. And I'm not sure about you, but I could do with some less interesting times at the moment. I'm going to use the word God incidentally, because I think the reading today is a God incident. And it is perfect for what we're going through, because it is the Israelites going to Samuel and insisting on a human king. Up until this time, they've had God as their king. Now they're asking for a human king. And we're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel 8, 4 to 20, and then look at chapter 11, 14 to 15. So we are told that all the elders of Israel are gathered together and they come to Samuel and they say, you're old, your sons don't follow your ways, appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, it displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord and the Lord said to him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me, God, as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now stop for a moment because this is a huge statement from God. It is me they are rejecting. Me, God. And they've done this ever since I brought them out of Egypt. I find this interesting timing because we're waiting to see who's going to lead our land and how this is all going to pan out. And maybe, and this is just my own thoughts, part of the mess or all the mess today is because we're worshipping other gods and not God. I think there are people who worship social media. Think of how many times you go on social media, or how many people go on social media all the time waiting for those likes, for people to make comments, for people to share it. I think perhaps we also worship material wealth. Some people worship their bodies. And I'm sure you can think of a few things that we seem to place above all others, and certainly above God. Maybe not consciously. We just get used to it and don't think about it. The words, it is me, God, they are rejecting, really made me stop and pause and make sure I get my priorities right. As we carry on, we're going to see why it's so important to have God as our king and the consequences of rejecting God as our king. So now listen to them, says God to him. He says, warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights. So Samuel goes back to them and explains what it will be like. He says, the king who's going to reign over you is going to claim his rights. He is going to take your sons. He's going to make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he may assign to be commanders of thousands, others commanders of fifties, others to plow his ground, reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and the donkeys he will take for his own use. You will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you're going to cry out for relief from the king you've chosen. But the Lord is not going to answer you on that day. So God, through Samuel, is warning the people that having a human king is not good for them. And if we look at history, I think that's exactly what happens. But the people refuse to listen to Samuel. No, they say, we want a king. And then we want to be like the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. And then moving on to chapter 11, the people go to Gilgal and make Saul king in the presence of the Lord. And there they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration. Now we know the story of Saul, and it doesn't have a happy ending. But I believe the message from this today is to make sure that we do not place anything above God, and we allow God to be king in our lives. And be careful for what we ask for. We need God's wisdom, not our own. I'm going to continue talking about this in a moment, but first on the Mighty Heart 1027, Lord, I lift your name on high. And as we listen to it, let's examine our lives and make sure God is number one in our lives.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Lord, I lift your name on high on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. If you've just joined us, we're looking at Saul being anointed king of Israel as the people demand a human king from God. God warned them of the cost of their actions, but they went ahead anyway and made Saul king, and they do pay the price for that later on. Their desire was to have a human king and be like all the other nations. Perhaps another warning to us is not to follow the crowd and wish to be like others, but to make sure we have God as number one in our lives and remain true to God and trust that God gives us what we need. Next, we're going to move to a psalm that was written by David. David, of course, was anointed king after Saul, and we know that he was persecuted by Saul. And David writes, "I'm going to praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me, God. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life, God. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." Now, I love the psalm, and I believe that there is a lot we can learn from the psalm in terms of our rhythm of life and faith. It's a psalm firstly filled with praise. And I mentioned last week that we called in all circumstances to give praise to God. It's also a psalm filled with trust. God's ways are good. God preserves my life even when I'm in the midst of trouble, says David. And we know David was often in trouble, and yet God did save him. I love David writing, "God's right hand saves me," because it reminds me of Psalm 139. "Put your hand in the right hand of God, and you will be fine." God endures forever, says David. As we face an uncertain time, maybe we should be praying the Psalm of David, as David did. Our hope and protection is in God, and we can pray for godly leaders of this country. We can also look at Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, where we are reminded that things of the earth are not where we should be looking, but we need to look beyond this to the things of God that are not so clear. So in 2 Corinthians 4, he writes, "I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." And I like this because more and more people are understanding the message here. Paul is making that clear. But he wants the grace and the thanksgiving and the glory to go to God, not to the people who are doing the work. "Therefore, we do not lose heart," says Paul. "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So," says Paul, "fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So just a reminder to keep our eyes on God and not on the things of the earth, because we belong to God. We belong to the family of God. And then he goes on to say, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," talking about his body, "we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Paul's just reminding the people of Corinth that their bodies are temporary, but their souls are eternal. And I think this may be a time when we're feeling a little discouraged with both the natural disasters and the political issues. However, Paul says, we need to fix our eyes on what is not seen. And I believe at this time, we not only need to be praising God and praying, we also need to look beyond the political posturing and see beyond this. I keep asking God, is there a lesson that we need to be learning? What is it that you're showing us? Is it that we need to turn more fully back to God? What do you think God is showing us? Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, This Is My Desire.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
This is My Desire, the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And I've started by looking at the Israelites demanding a human king in spite of God warning them of the cost, because they wanted to be like their neighbors, they wanted to be like the other nations, and they want this human king. And God warned them that one day they would regret that, and that they would be going to God and begging God to remove the king, but that God would not listen. So they go ahead and they anoint Saul as king. We've heard God's words, "They are rejecting me," as he says to Samuel. And I hope none of us ever hear those words from God. We've looked at David's psalm, a psalm of praise and trust, and then Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, reminding us to look beyond that which is visible. And he reminded us, all of us, I think, that our bodies are temporary. We move now to the gospel set for today, which is Mark 3, verse 20 to 35. And we're told that Jesus entered a house and again a crowd had gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. Just imagine this crowd pushing on him and he hasn't got time to do anything. His family hear about this and they go and take charge of him, for they say he's out of his mind. Jesus' family are worried about them. As most families, they want to protect him. They don't understand what he's doing. They know he's getting into trouble. They know he's causing issues. And so they want to bring him back home and keep him safe. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Beelzebul. But by the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. Jesus calls them over to him and he begins to speak to them in parables and says, how can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven for all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. Just a quick warning to you and I, never to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That is the one sin that is not forgiven. That is the one thing that will separate us from God. He said this to them because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrive. They stand outside. Someone goes inside to call him. And a crowd sitting around him and they say, your mother and brother are outside looking for you. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He asks them. Then he looks at those seated in the circle around him and says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. All who follow Jesus and do the will of God are Jesus' brothers and sisters. Now some have complained that this is really harsh words from Jesus, the way he dismissed his own mother and brothers and sisters, especially as they were there out of concern for him. Can you imagine if you were Jesus' mom? Remember, she's already heard Simeon's words spoken over her, and she knows that at some stage all those prophecies are going to come true, and she's trying her best to keep Jesus safe. And he responds, who is my mother? Who are my siblings? Now Jesus, of course, was just trying to make her point. I don't think he was being harsh. We know he loved his mom. We see that on the cross. But he's saying that when we follow God, we are adopted into the royal household of God. You and I are adopted into the royal household of God. And I find this comforting. Whenever I take my eyes off God and start looking at the things around us, we may get a little stressed. But we need to remember to keep our eyes on Jesus, place our hand in the right hand of God, and remember the words of Psalm 139, place our hand in the hand of God, God's right hand will hold us fast. So this turbulent time in our lives, let us remember to place our hand in the hand of God, keep our eyes on Jesus, remember that we've been adopted into the kingdom of God, the royal household of God, and perhaps the biggest lesson of all, we need to rely on God's wisdom and be careful of what we ask for. Make sure God is number one in our lives and make sure that we don't compare ourselves to others and keep saying others have this God, we also want it. I pray that you are safe at this time. I pray that you find comfort in God and I pray that you and your family can have days of joy and fun. And I also pray that you're joining me in lifting this country up to God in endless unceasing prayer, praying for godly leaders and praying for all the victims of the floods and the tornado. I know there are organizations collecting for them. Let's reach out as well as pray. So thank you so much for listening to me this morning. May God bless you and anoint you and protect you. To wrap up, broken for me. And I thought it was really important to listen to God will make a way, because God will make a way for us. Thanks again for listening. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.